nice to see everybody that's come out tonight. Thank you for taking your Sunday evening and spending it with us. And we just hope that it'll be a blessing to you that you are here. It's by no mistake that you're here. The Word of God will be opened and read from, and no matter what Norman and I would say, it's really the Word of God that's the authority. And if you could take something from that tonight, it would be a blessing to you. We're just going to speak to God first. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that eternity has two roads, a road to glory and beauty and love and riches, and the Lord Jesus, or our Father, there's an eternal road that leads down to destruction. Our Father, we just pray for the audience tonight that they may come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and be saved and go that upward road which leads to pleasures forevermore. Our Father, we just think of the man in the Bible who prayed, Lord, help my unbelief. We just pray for the audience tonight that they would get past what has been holding them back thus far, and tonight they would set a new destination, and they would change roads, and they would change eternities, and they would change their life. And our Father, we just pray for them tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, before I came here tonight, I had to get something out of the garage, and we have a wonderful little butterscotch kitten named Ginger, and I decided to pick her up, and now I feel like I have a cat up my nose, so I'm going to try and hold my nose together while I get through this. I never had an allergy till I was about 45, and now I have several. We're going to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, and verse 19. Verse 19 says, "There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets." Now that's a reference to the Bible, which you're holding in your hand, which you have access to. "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." We'll read further in Acts chapter 8. Acts Excuse me. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generations? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way and came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I know that's quite a bit of reading. Some other people who get up here and preach the gospel can preach on one verse and do a very good job of it. But there's two or more stories here. There's a story which I don't like to talk about. It's in Luke 16 where we first read. And it gives the account of two men. And it in no way promotes the fact that rich people go to hell and poor people go to heaven. That's not what it's saying. The Lord Jesus was speaking to people who were covetous, and he was given the example of doing the important things on earth, putting the right things first in your life. I went through 38 years of my life being covetous, wanting things and possessions, and well, sometimes I still do, but they're not the most important. And he was trying to bring the realization of an eternity. We sang about an eternity. This man, Lazarus, he didn't have much on earth. You'll go to any city in Canada now. It used to be just certain cities and see homeless people and maybe panhandlers begging for a little few coins or some food or whatever. But I don't know if you'll see them as bad a shape as this poor Lazarus was. He sat outside the gate hoping for a few crumbs to drop from a rich man's table. And he was full of sores and the dogs licked his sores. A terrible existence. But he was living for an eternity that goeth upward. He put his trust in the Lord Jesus. And this is what Jesus was trying to convey to the people here. The rich man had no time for it. He had everything he wanted on earth. It said he fared sumptuously every day. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe he had sirloin steak every day, ribeye. All the best things. He was clothed in purple. You can get purple clothes anywhere now if you want. You can get purple hair if you like. But at that time, that was reserved for rich people. It was a status symbol. And what he had on this earth. But he had nothing for eternity. The two of them died. And friend, I'll tell you, we're all headed the same way. There's young people here, lots of people younger than me, almost everybody. And it didn't seem very long ago that I was your age, way younger. It goes fast. And maybe this rich man thought that he had all the time in the world. And time went fast. And there he met the same end on this earth that everybody will. He died. But the thing is, he woke up in hell. That's a terrible, solemn thing. And right off the bat, he had a request. He said, send Lazarus. This is the man who was the beggar at his gate. Send him that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. Terrible place of torment. Friend, you have to think tonight about your eternity. In lifetime, this is where you are right now, in your lifetime. He had these good things. You can have a better thing in your lifetime. You can know your sins forgiven, be able to stand before God at the end of your life and know that all is well. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just to know for sure. It won't help you just in eternity, but it'll help you in this life. To go through this life with a clean conscience and knowing God and know that you have a purpose, that you were put here for a reason. What about this meeting? Maybe you're here with family. Maybe you feel obligated to come. Do you think it's coincidence that you were brought up in a Christian home? Do you think it's coincidence that a Christian invited you out to these meetings to hear the Word of God? He knew there was no hope for him. He says, I have five brothers at home. Send someone, please, that they come not to this place. He obviously didn't want anyone else to come where he was. Please send someone. And he says, no. God says, they have Moses and the prophets. They have a Bible to look in and read about this. The crying man, in hell, he lift up his eyes. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. The crying man. Clock is going fast. So I'll turn over to the book of Acts. There's a man who had great authority and great power. He was working for the queen. And he had charge of all her riches. But he was missing something. He had gone and he was chasing after something. He knew he needed something. And he went to Jerusalem. He said, well, maybe if I join up with the Jews, the Jewish religion, maybe that'll do something for me. And while he was there, he bought a copy of the book of Isaiah. And on his way back, there he was. And this must have been bothering him bad because he stopped on the side of the road. It was a long journey back to his home, long journey. And there he was reading the book of Isaiah. It was Isaiah 53 is what it was. And he says, I don't understand this. I'll tell you one thing tonight. If you think that God doesn't care about you, here I am, billions of people in this world, and God doesn't care about me, you're wrong. There was preaching going on in all the cities and people were being saved and Philip was a preacher of the gospel and it was big news. There was lots of people being saved and the Spirit of God sent Philip out into a desert. What's in a desert? Nothing. But there was a man searching. There was one man searching. And friend, you're sitting here in the meeting tonight, and I can tell you God cares about you, and he wants to see you in his heaven. And there Philip explained to him and began preaching to him Jesus. That's what we would love to get across to you tonight, is so even though we might fail and stumble over our words, we would like to point you to the cross, to the Lord Jesus, the only salvation for sinners, the only way to go to the eternity that is above and not below, the only way your sins can be forgiven. So he preaches unto him Jesus. And he says, they go and the eunuch says, here's water. He must have known something about Christianity. He must have heard a little bit. He must have known. He says, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? Well, he says, if you believe with all your heart, you can. And he says, I do. And he was baptized. And he went away rejoicing. Friend, you can go away rejoicing tonight, knowing your sins forgiven. You don't want to be the man crying for all eternity. You want to be the one rejoicing for all eternity. There's one more man in the story here, and he's the silent man. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Sometimes Isaiah 53 is referred to as the gospel of the Old Testament, and it's very clear. You can know very, very little about the Bible, and you can read Isaiah 53 and know, hey, that's about the Lord Jesus and him being crucified on the cross. You can know that. It's very clear. Why was he so silent? The people were accusing him of all these things. Oh, he said he was the king of the Jews. He said he was God. He said this and he said that. And Pilate says to him, he said, these people are accusing you of all these things. Don't you have anything to say back? And he was silent. And he was turned over to Herod. And Herod, oh, he wanted to see Jesus. He heard about all the miracles that he did. And he was really hoping that Jesus would do a miracle in front of him. Thought that'd be great. Just like a circus sideshow, right? Jesus said nothing. So he turned him back over. And he was nailed to that cross and crucified with people who've committed murder and other things. And he opened not his mouth. He could have said, I never did any of that. He could have proved it. He could have done a miracle. He could have done anything to get himself out of that situation. But he was silent for you. I don't know if you've ever had someone take a punishment that you deserve. You can read about this, and if you don't believe it, you've obviously not really thought about it, taken it to your heart. But I know one time my brother was punished for something that I did, and it was hard to take. If you really think about this, that all your charges that should have been laid against you, he took on himself so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. Boy, that's love. I can't do that for you. It wouldn't do you any good that I would be punished for you. I'm just a sinner like you. But I've been saved, and I know I won't have to pay for it. What about you tonight? You think about somebody who suffered an unimaginable punishment that would take you all of eternity. That's such a silly thing to say. We talk about it like it's time. There's no time, it's forever. It would take you all eternity to suffer. And he took that punishment upon himself so you could go free. Boy, that's something. The crying man. It's a terrible thing to go into eternity with no Savior and to have to pay for all your sins when somebody already did it, but you won't accept the gift. The rejoicing man, this man knew. He knew that this one that he was reading about in Isaiah, the lamb led to the slaughter. He knew it was for him. He believed with all his heart, and he went away rejoicing. The Lord Jesus, when he could have walked away, they told him, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, then we'll believe you. That's like the man in hell saying, if you send someone from the dead, they'll believe. No, they won't. It wouldn't have done any good for the Lord Jesus to come down off the cross. There would have been no salvation for any of us. But he stayed there and he suffered for you and for me. It says further in Isaiah, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. We deserved all that. The heaps and heaps and mounds of sins that this world has committed, that you've committed tonight, that I've committed, and he paid for it all. No one else could do it but the Son of God. It took perfection to clear away the slate of sin, and he gave all that he had, his precious blood.